So today is the day that we celebrate the value of life, human life. Sanctity of human life was actually observed on January 22nd of this year. And in 1984, President Ronald Reagan instituted Sanctity of Human Life Day as a way to bring awareness to and to counter the Roe v. Wade decision that was made in 1973. That made abortion legal here in the United States. So since 1984, some presidents have recognized this day, some have not. Doesn't matter to me. We're always going to bring to the forefront the awareness of life. For me, the value of life is a non-negotiable. I know it's kind of a heated topic, and a lot of times it becomes a political topic, but really, for me, it's a biblical topic. It's biblical because it is life. Every life is sacred. Every life is a gift. The child in the womb, the elderly, the weak, the mentally challenged, the physically those with physical limitations. Every life is precious in the sight of God because He created life. And you may say to yourself, well, what about, you know, a child that may not be born in the best environment or a child that may be, have disabilities? Well, here's the deal. We live in a fallen world. Sin rules this world. And God has limitations on Himself. So even though it seems like, and we wonder, like, why doesn't He intervene and why doesn't He fix these things? Well, someday when we're in heaven, everything will be perfect. But for now, we have to deal with the fallen nature and the sin that we live in. So just to kind of put that out there, because I know that's a part of the conversations that people have. But God is the giver of life. And so we're going to look at some passages today that will support that and kind of maybe just bring to awareness and help you in conversations that you have and maybe just things that maybe you struggle with as far as this goes. But in Genesis chapter 1, in the very beginning of it all, it says this. So God created human beings in His own image. We are created in the image of our Creator. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, this is fascinating to me because God is the Creator of all things. And He created us in His image. So we all bear the image of our Creator. But then the very next verse, it says this, that God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And then it says how He has given them dominion over all things on the earth, over all the plants and animals and everything. But be fruitful and multiply. So what this tells me is that when a life is conceived, because this is the very first one, human beings, he's talking about Adam and Eve. When life is conceived, it receives a blessing from its Creator. So I have to believe that when a life is conceived, God breathes life. He breathes a spirit into that life that begins. And I believe He blesses it. And we'll see that a little bit further here. But I want to talk about a guy from the Old Testament. He was a prophet. His name was Jeremiah. And he played a prominent role as one of God's prophets in the Old Testament. And when God called him to be a prophet, He called him to be a prophet at an early age. And here's the exchange that they had in Jeremiah 1, chapter 5. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah goes on to say, well, I can't speak for you. I'm too young and this and that. And he has excuses. And God says, don't be afraid of what anybody says or does because I have already appointed you for this. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I appointed you for this role right here. And it just so happens that Jeremiah did not have it easy as a prophet. He had to give some pretty stern warnings to the Israelites. He was God's mouthpiece, and he gave some pretty stern warnings to the Israelites, and they did not like what he had to say. They did everything to shut him up. They hated him for it, as a matter of fact. But nevertheless, he carried out the calling that God had paved out for him. See, God ordains life no matter the circumstance, whether out of love and intimacy between a husband and wife, whether out of carelessness, or even out of tragedy, as much as we hate to think. It is God that says, I'm going to bring a life forth from this, regardless of how it was formed. Because we often think, well, why would anybody want to be raised in this environment? Why would anybody want to be raised in this situation? Why would anybody want to be born with these disabilities or something, right? Well, God says, I already know the plans I have for this life. Who are we to say, who are we to say this life isn't valuable when God says this life is going to be born in this environment, not the best, but when I raise this young man or this young lady up, they will be a voice. See what I'm saying? We don't always know what God has planned for people. Even Jeremiah. God didn't tell Jeremiah, hey, look, this is not going to be easy, but I want you to do this. Jeremiah had to kind of figure this out as time went on. But nevertheless, when you read the stories of Jeremiah, the word of God burned within him, and he could not tell the people what God wanted them to hear. Before each one of us is formed in the womb. That's what we can read right here in Jeremiah chapter 1. God sees the plans that are possible for that life and the plans that are capable for that life. And also, just to back this up, Psalm 139 is very similar to this one verse right here. It speaks about, before you were in the womb, I created you, I knitted you together, I formed your life. Again, regardless of how a life is created, each life that is conceived starts out as an innocent child. Even when a life is born in a bad environment, babies aren't born doing bad things, right? Babies are born innocent. They're beautiful. They're noisy. They're fun. Especially when you get older and you can walk away from them. But babies are beautiful, and they're innocent lives that God creates. So again, they may not be born in the best environment, or they may not be born out of the best circumstance. But it is God who ordains life and knows the plans that were laid out for that specific life. I often think about myself, and I look back on my past, and the decisions that I made were not the best decisions, but God guided me and protected me and saw that I would carry out the plans that he had ordained for me before I was formed in my mother's womb. Now, Jeremiah also had a word for the Israelites. So they were getting ready to go into captivity. The Babylonians were going to come down and they were going to conquer the Israelites. And Jeremiah was giving them this warning. You're going to go into captivity. It's judgment from God because of the despicable things that you are doing. They're worshiping other gods. They're doing all kinds of other deplorable things. And just God is bringing judgment on his people. And they didn't want to hear it. But here was a message that God wanted his people to hear from Jeremiah. And it says this. In chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you. Basically, Jeremiah is telling them, listen, we're going to go into captivity. It's going to be for 70 years. We cannot forget who our God is. We cannot forget where we came from. And then he says this, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So you're going to have a period in time right now that is not going to be very enjoyable. But trust me, I know the plans I have for you. I've never given up on you, nor will I ever give up on you. My plans for you are to succeed. They are not for disaster. In America alone, in 2019, It's too early to get the 2020 statistics out. In America alone in 2019, 883,000 lives were ended from abortion. 883,000. And I got these stats. I should have put it up on the screen here, but it's a website called abort73.com. You can get the stats from there, abort73.com. And it also has this. It has the top 10 reasons why the decision was made. Top three out of those 10, number one, not ready to have a child. Number two, can't afford a baby. Number three, done having children. That's the top three reasons. And then there's seven more after that. So let's just say out of that 883,000, I'm not a mathematician, but let's just say 700,000 of those fell into this top three category here. That's still an awful lot of lives that were ended. Doctors, lawyers, politicians, a president, astronauts, teachers, pastors, grocery baggers. They're important too, right, Miguel? Miguel's up in the sound room. I give him a hard time at Kroger every time I'm in there. You know what I do? You know what I do? Miguel doesn't like this, but Miguel, sometimes he has to take the groceries that people, you know, they put somewhere else because they didn't want to buy them, and so he has to put those back. And so I feel it's my duty to keep Miguel busy while he's at work. So I move stuff around for him. But I always put my cart in the corral. So anyways, but, you know, life changers, world changers, people who make a difference. It's not up to us to determine whether or not a life is worth living. The Creator says, I'm the one that put that life in the womb. Yes, it was a tragedy, but I have plans for that life. Yes, it's not the best environment, but I have plans for that life. It's the Creator that knows the plans for all of us. Here at Vineyard Community Church, we have a pregnancy care clinic that has done the following in the past year for mothers and the unborn. We have a pregnancy clinic, we have an ultrasound, we have doctors here, nurses here, we have volunteer ladies that do parenting classes, and it's all for free. You can come here if you're pregnant and you're struggling with the decision you want to make or whatever, we will help you with that decision. In January and February of 2020, and I think one Wednesday in March, because we had the COVID lockdowns and stuff, and we had to close everything up. But in, nine or 10, they were every Wednesday night, all right? Just the first 2 months of the year, 46 pregnant ladies came through our clinics looking for help for their pregnancies. 46. That's almost five a night. 39 of those ladies attended parenting classes, and they were able to go to, we call it a miracle store. They're able to go shopping. If they take the parenting class, they can go shopping in the miracle store and pick out some stuff that they may need for their new baby. Now, the clinics were closed from March through August, but then we opened up our medical, pregnancy, and vision clinic once a month. So I think that started in August. Since then, we've had 10 ladies come through. So I believe that was five Wednesdays in the rest of 2020 that we were open. That's two a night. Even in the midst of a pandemic, ladies came here. Now, because of COVID, we don't do the parenting classes. Just not everybody's comfortable coming out, so we don't have those in place just yet. But we're still averaging two ladies a night, once a month, who are coming to this church for help with their pregnancy. So we are making a difference. We are determined here at Vineyard Community Church to make a difference in the lives of the unborn. I'm willing to have all kinds of conversations about all kinds of things, and there's a few non-negotiables I have in my life, but life is one of them. It's a non-negotiable for me. It really is. As followers of Jesus, We are people who understand God's kingdom values for others. We must not buy into the lie that life is invaluable. Who do you think out there in the world wants to destroy God's creation more than anything? And this is just an avenue that he goes through it, the enemy, the devil. In order to make a difference, we need to be intentional on creating a culture that sees people through the eyes of Jesus. Instead of the lies that have been spread that a life is determined by whether or not we see it as being justifiable. It may be unwanted, it may be a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise to God. I don't like to use the word mistakes, because it's a surprise, and surprises are a good thing. If we put, now think about this, if we put the utmost value on human life at conception, okay, I wonder how we would treat others as we grow older in age. Because we all know that as we get older, we have life experiences, we have things that happen to us, we have things that happen that shape who we are and how we think. We become a little jaded, we might have some walls that go up, we become a little guarded, we might see people who we perceive as being different than us differently. But if we created an atmosphere, and this starts with the church, if we created an atmosphere that life is of the utmost importance at the start of conception, would we still have that atmosphere as we get older? That every life is valuable, no matter how different we think they are from us. Do you see what I'm saying? Would we all kind of feed off of that mentality? I want to share a story with you from the book of Luke, and it's about this couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were above childbearing age. They were older in their age. They were very wise people. But Elizabeth couldn't have any children at all, ever. And Zechariah, well, he was a priest in the Jewish temple. So one day, he's doing his temple duties, and along comes the angel Gabriel. And he has this message for Zechariah. He says, your wife Elizabeth is going to become pregnant. And Zechariah is like, he struggled with this because they've tried their entire marriage. Now they're older, probably gave up on it. Let's just keep doing life together. And then the angel says, she is going to have a baby. You are to name him John. He will do great, great things for the Lord. He will actually turn hardened hearts towards God. Well, Elizabeth became pregnant in her old age. Then, shortly thereafter, the angel Gabriel goes and visits another lady, young lady by the name of Mary. Mary was a virgin. Gabriel says, you are about to have a child, conceived of the Holy Spirit. He will be the Son of God. I think you know where I'm going with this, right? Because we all kind of know this story. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Actually, I'll read a little bit above that. So the angel says, you will have a baby conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth was Mary's aunt. Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. So now verse 39, a few days after this, Mary hurried to the hill country, to Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed the Lord would do as he said. Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was seen as a crazy man. He lived in the wilderness. He ate bugs. He made his own clothes out of animal fur and skin and stuff. And he preached a message of repentance. He rubbed the religious leaders the wrong way because he called them out on things. He called the Roman king out on things. He preached a message of repentance because his role was to prepare the hearts of mankind for his cousin Jesus, who is going to come and usher in the kingdom of God. These two were cousins, and they were born out of miraculous ways. And this story right here is fascinating to me because something spiritual happened here. When Elizabeth heard the greeting from Mary, her preborn baby in the womb recognized the presence of Jesus. And then it says that Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Up until the New Testament, when Jesus was around, the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets and the kings and the judges who God used for specific times and for specific reasons. The Holy Spirit was upon them. This is the first mention of somebody getting filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't think it was quite like when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus into our lives, or like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are all different things. But Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Was it an anointing that was going to be upon her baby, John the Baptist? I'm not too sure. But here's what I know. Somehow, somebody recorded this and told Luke that when Mary and Elizabeth first met, Elizabeth sensed something within her and she knew it was the Holy Spirit. So something spiritual happened that day. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant and Mary maybe 2 weeks. So I wanted to share this story with you, not only because God works things in a miraculous way, but also because I am convinced that life is more spiritual than anything else. As long as we don't get all weirded out about it and freak our coworkers out and everything else. You know, in the Vineyard, there is a saying that we have. It's called naturally supernatural. We move in the supernatural, but we do it in such a natural way that it's a part of who we are. We are a mind, a body, and a spirit. Our Creator put within each person all the characteristics that they have. All those things that you have that when you look in the mirror, you don't like about yourself. Jesus said, this is why I love you, because I gave you all these different characteristics. Chip, I gave you that big nose. I gave you that walk that you have. I gave you the things that you have, the facial features, the characteristics that you have. Because that is how I wanted you to be. But most importantly, every person has a spirit within them that at one time or another makes a connection with their Creator. God is constantly chasing after us to get our attention so that we can turn from our wicked ways, repent, and become a part of his kingdom. Ask his son Jesus into our lives. He's constantly chasing us down. And it is our spirit man within us that responds to that. I believe that at the point of conception, the Spirit of God breathes life into that creation, into that life that is formed. No matter the circumstances, it is God that breathes life into every life that is formed. To me, life doesn't get any more valuable than that. Living in harmony with our Creator. I mean, that's the epitome of life here on earth. So I'll close it with this. God is the one who ordains life. And it starts at conception. God's creative work can be seen all around us, but most specifically in all the different and unique characteristics that human beings have. Some of us have a different accent because of where we're from. Some of us have a different skin color because of where we were born. Some of us have different skin tones, different facial features, different, you know, everything. But all of that is precious in the sight of God. And no matter how different from others we may seem to be, we need to celebrate and value and protect every human being from the point of conception to their very last breath. I also want to encourage us that no matter where we stand on this issue, because this is an issue that gets very heated at times, no matter where you're at on it, take this approach: love. Enter into the conversation with love. First, listen, and if you're being asked, then give your input. But approach it with love. Get to know the person that you're talking to and why they think the way they do on the topic. Because when we treat people with respect, we are showing them that no matter what our differences are, we still value them and love them as a person. And then I want to end it with this. I know that this can be a very touchy subject, and I know that this is a subject that can create some struggles in life and all of that. But I want you to know this. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do that is outside the realm of God's forgiveness. Absolutely nothing. We've ministered to a lot of people in this church that struggle with that. Unforgiveness of decisions that they made. When you struggle with unforgiveness, to me, that's the enemy that wants to keep you there, because he knows that once you allow the Holy Spirit of God to shower you with forgiveness and to love you and to pick you up and to let you know it's okay, he's lost his grip on you. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful things that we can experience from Jesus. And he freely gives it at all times, no matter what was done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And then today's the last Sunday of the month, which means we will take communion together. So, Lord God, I thank you for today. And I thank you, Jesus, that, you know, when we as a church family, we tackle tough subjects. You know, it can be tough, but God, something that I understand and I believe with my whole heart is that you value life above everything. You breathe life into the womb of a mother at the point of conception. You already know the plans that you have for that life, and I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your unconditional love, Lord God. And I thank you for the work that has been done and continues to be done here at this church, Lord God, with our clinics, medical, pregnancy, and all the others, Lord. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.